Well, hello again, everyone, and welcome to a special weekend edition podcast special. We're recording this on Thursday with our friend Keith Neumeyer. Many of you are familiar with Keith and his companies. He is the president and CEO of First Majestic Silver. He's also the chairman of First Mining Finance, a couple of companies that yours truly is a proud shareholder of. And so this is a real treat to get to talk to Keith, especially with the news that's going on today. So Keith, thank you for taking some time to visit with us.
Yeah, it's great to be here. Thank you.
Well, let's just dive right in, my friend. Again, this is Thursday the 14th when we're visiting, and news broke last night of a settlement in a civil class action suit regarding the London fixing process for silver. And Deutsche Bank has, for all intents and purposes, admitting their involvement in this. Co-conspirators have been named in this suit as well, though Deutsche Bank is settling out their part. And then it came out today that they're also admitting to gold fixing manipulation. So I know we're all dying to get your thoughts on this. What do you think? What did you think when you saw those headlines yesterday?
Well, of course, it's very interesting. You know, it's been going on for such a long time, and there's been multiple investigations, and we see these headlines, and then all of a sudden, you know, months or years go by and there's just no talk of these investigations. And now all of a sudden, this one seems to actually be progressing a little. And it was quite interesting as well to see that they've actually come out and agreed to assist the investigation as well, which is quite interesting. And you know, I hope who's on top of this story, it continues to follow this process, because it would be really neat to see the stuff that Deutsche is actually going to be coming out with to help this investigation.
Get them to start singing like a mafia informant would be ideal, I guess. You know, and for now they're dealing with the London fixing, but boy, if they're cooperating with authorities, whatever that would be, and singing against some of their fellow conspirators, I wonder if it'll extend over the COMEX as well.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that they're putting the document in front of the U.S. courts. I'm not sure if you noticed that in the release, but yeah. I was curious why they would do that. So, So there must be some kind of U.S. link to it.
Let's keep our fingers crossed. It is certainly nice, though, to get the headlines out there and bring more attention to this whole pricing scheme and price manipulation that we've all known about for years. You've been one of the few champions of the cause in the actual metals industry. You wrote a fabulous letter to the CFTC last year, asking them basically to do their job. I think you mentioned you never did hear back from them. Is that right?
No, that's right. And I wasn't really expecting to when I wrote it. I was hoping I would, but I didn't expect I was going to. And you know, I continually, harp on other CEOs and as well to, hold back metal and try to put a stand or a line in the sand or stand up and, tell the market or tell the, buyers that, hey, look, this metal is, a lot rarer than you think it is. And it's being mispriced right now because of, what's going on in the world. And we're frustrated and we're going to hold back production. But I've been unsuccessful in convincing other CEOs of silver mining companies to follow my lead, unfortunately.
Do you think this stuff will help? Do you think headlines like this will gain some attention? I mean, do you think there's other things that you could do? Is there a producer class action lawsuit or anything like that that crosses your mind?
Well, the mining executives just don't seem to have the stomach for it. So, we're a substantial producer, obviously, at, 19 million ounces or thereabouts production in 2016. It's a lot of silver. But in the whole scheme of things, it's pretty small. Most of the silver comes from, the base metal mines and, the primary producers like ourselves are in a small camp. So, if the big copper producers or gold producers or lead and zinc producers don't stand up, and do something about it, then we're kind of left in the wind a little bit. It was nice to see. I'm not sure if you recall when that one fix, I forget exactly when it was. I think it was in February. That was 84% or 84 cents, pardon me, below the spot. And the big Polish producer silver producers, they're huge, one of the biggest in the world. They actually came out with a very aggressive statement against that trade, and it was really nice to see another mining company, come out and actually criticize the market, because, at First Majestic, we often feel quite alone.
Yeah. Well, and you're right about that. And several companies kind of quit the fix at that point. Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if this doesn't open the floodgates a little bit. Now that you've got at least one admission, maybe things will start to roll down a hill a little bit for us. Keith, I got to ask you, because I don't even know this myself. Like you mentioned, it's almost 20 million ounces a year that First Majestic producers. How do you sell your silver? Do you have to go through the LBMA? Do you have to go through the bullion banks, or do you sell it? What is the process for First Majestic?
Yeah, there's two processes, because there's two types of products, and this goes the same for everyone. Mining companies either produce a concentrate or they produce a doré bar, and they're treated quite a lot differently. If you produce a concentrate, which is the majority of mining companies, they use long-term, when I mean long-term, I mean usually 12 months, sometimes 24-month contracts, where they're delivering their product, which is just this big pile of black powder, to the shipyards, to a port, and it gets picked up by either a smelter or a middleman, a trader, and that trader will have a buyer on the other side. So that big pile of concentrate will get put in a ship and shipped off to Korea or China, melted down into all the different metals that are inside of that concentrate, and the concentrate contains everything you can imagine. Even if it's rich in silver or gold, it still has other stuff in it, like zinc and lead and copper and cadmium and selenium and all the metals that you can imagine are in this thing. So the smelter's job is to take all that stuff out and pay the mining company, or either the smelter will pay the mining company for the contents of that concentrate, or the trader, the middleman, will pay the mining company. In the case of the doré bars, it's quite a lot different, and it's a lot easier to deal with, and it's a lot more short term. So we have a set of traders that deal with the end buyer. So they're middlemen. They're based in two in the United States and one in Canada, and they have a series of buyers, and those are commercial buyers. It could be Samsung or Sony or Toyota, mm-hmm. or it could be window manufacturing companies, it could be Intel, it could be Apple, all these consumers of metal, know where to go. They phone up the traders, and when I see a spike in the market, if silver's at 50 cents one day, I'll phone up one of the traders and I'll say, sell 250,000 ounces of silver at that price. And they say, okay, it's sold. So now that metal, we're obligated then to deliver that metal into that sale. So they know where our metal goes. We ship our metal to different refineries in the United States. Most of the metal goes to Republic refineries in Miami, and Republic has contracts with the traders, and they organize where the metal goes, and then we get paid, according to the sale that we made. So we may only sell the metal once or twice a month, or three times a month. We'll sell enough metal over a period of a couple of days to take care of us for a week or two. So we're not in the market every day. We take advantage of the spikes in the market and try to get the best price for shareholders for that quarter.
Gotcha. Well, I understand our friend Eric Sprott might be looking for about 5 million ounces. So you might want to give him a ring too.
Yeah, well, it's tough for us to sell directly to the end consumer. And it's really not our business. So,
right.
We let the middlemen do that for us, because it gets quite complicated, all the transportation and all the stuff that needs to be done to get
sure.
the metal moved around.
Well, and like you said, it's just nice to know that your company does try to cut out the middleman, and that you're not dealing with the bullion banks. And that obviously helps the bottom line. Is it right? Is it true that First Majestic has an all-in sustaining cost of production down around $11, $12. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, it'd be south of 12. It would be in the low 11s. The Q4, I don't have the number in front of me, but I think it was 11.20 or 1130 all in sustaining costs on a global basis. That was Q4. And I think in Q1, we just announced today our record production. We produced 5.1 million ounces of equivalent silver in Q1, and our costs will come out in the next few weeks. And I'm pretty confident our costs will probably even be better than what they were in Q4.
Well, and as I mentioned, I am a shareholder and have benefited. I was buying it back there at $3 back in January, and it got all the way to $8 just early yesterday. So, hey, thanks. I want to tell you I appreciate that. Is it fair to say, it can't just be just a straight dollar for dollar, but if you're producing 20 million ounces and your cost of production is down near 12, does every dollar that the cost of silver go up, does that affect your bottom line by $20 million?
It's about $18 million.
Hey, that's not bad.
For every dollar move, about $18 million drops to the bottom line. So it's a huge beta to the move in silver prices. You know, the silver went up, basically from its lows, let's say $13.50 to $16, or, you know, $13.50 was kind of an anomalous spike down. But, you know, even if you use the low $14 range to the low $16 range, that's a $2 move. And the stock doubles in price. And, it's got huge leverage. You know, First Majestic is the purest silver company in the world. So, you know, it's going to trade like that on bad days when the metal's down, the stock's going to be down. On great days when the metal's up, the stock. If you go back to the stock in 2011, the stock was $26 a share, and we produced 7 million ounces of silver that year. So this year we'll do almost three times the amount of silver, and our market cap is about $1 billion. Back then it was $3 billion. So if you look at like for like, you could do the math yourself, but it work out to about $9 billion market cap if things were the same as they were back in 2011. And a $9 billion market cap puts a $50 share price on the stock. So things can happen like that, and I'm sure they will. When we see silver start to move again, which I think we will in the next year or two. I think we're going to see that crazy market in some of these resource stocks.
Yep, and that's all part of the reason why I own it, that's for sure, Keith. And how about expansion of First Majestic? Is there any thought of that, buying some additional mines and acquiring other assets?
You know, we've been pretty aggressive. I think the company quite well, and I think we're probably one of the most aggressive mining companies out there, and I'm probably one of the most aggressive mining executives out there. First Mining Finance, I bought five companies. With First Majestic Silver, I bought one company last year. So, five companies in a period of 12 months, six in just a little over 12 months, it's a record for me in my career. And, I'm proving that this is a good time to be buying assets. But at the same time, I don't want to fill up our portfolio with a bunch of junk. There's a lot of distressed assets out there that we're looking at and have looked at over the last few years and passed on them because they'll just take too much money. They're either not fixable or they're just going to take way too much money to fix them. And we don't want to go and dilute our shares and raise money at these prices yet. So it's a bit of a, you have to measure these things. Each asset's quite a bit different, but our purity is very important. We're the purest silver company in the world. So, we don't want to be, going out and buying an asset that's, too heavily weighted in base metals, for example. We were looking at an asset just recently and it was 30% silver. And we're going, well, it's an interesting asset, but, it's going to affect our purity. And so we passed.
Got it. Well, now you mentioned First Mining Finance. That's another equity that I own, and I plan to accumulate more, so don't let it go up too far too fast. It's been moving like crazy just this week, moving up, 30 or 40% just in the last 5 to 6 trading days. Let's talk about that before we wrap up. It's something that I know you're involved with a couple of friends of yours, folks that are everybody in the metal sector knows all about. And it certainly seems like a great opportunity. How would you sum up First Mining Finance for everyone?
Well, it's quite a different company than First Majestic Silver. First Majestic Silver is obviously silver, Mexico, producing company, second largest silver producer in the country of Mexico. And so, substantial company at 20 million ounces of production. First Mining Finance, I put this company together to take advantage of what I see as some of the cheapest valuations that I've ever witnessed in my career. And, you know, a lot of your listeners probably owned a lot of mining stocks that went down 80 or 90% and probably were quite, you know, distressed with that, you know, happening. And it was a five-year bear market. It's been very tough on a lot of people. But I was compelled to go in there and try to take advantage of it and try to buy up some of these assets. So we, you know, so far we've bought five companies focusing on gold in Canada, because I look at gold in Canada as really the cheapest assets right now. We've done a great job, and we've accumulated 9 million ounces of gold in a very short period of time. And we're looking to remain aggressive in 2016 and hopefully increase our portfolio over the next 6 to 12 months. And we have a target of getting up to 15 million ounces by the end of the year. I think we can do that. And, you know, this will be one of the most attractive portfolios owned by any junior in the entire mining space. And, you know, I think that we're banking them for now. We're not going to be an exploration company. We're not going to be a producing company. We're just going to, you know, put them aside, you know, clean them up a little bit, because they, you know, obviously they've been underfinanced. So we'll do some things to dress them up and make them more attractive, do reports on them, do, you know, economic assessments on them, and so on and so forth. So we're not sitting on our hands and doing nothing. We're actually, you know, we will be advancing the projects to some degree. We just won't be putting holes in the ground right now, because I just don't think the market really cares about, you know, drill results and so on and so forth. But I think that we'll be able to monetize these assets. I think all the projects we bought so far will become producing mines ultimately, but they'll be done through partnerships, and we'll be creating revenue models around them. And then, you know, our goal ultimately is to pay a dividend to First Mining shareholders.
So it's in a way, you're going to continue to acquire companies that you think are representing great value, but then you recognize that value for shareholders, not necessarily by doing the drilling and mining yourself.
That's right. Yeah. You know, I run a pretty big operating company as it is. And you know, it's a pretty big job in itself. But there's a lot of extra risks involved in that as well. I think that, you know, First Mining is a lower risk way of investing in the gold sector. You're buying a multitude of assets. We have 25 projects in the company so far, you know, all in the Western Hemisphere, so all in North and South America. So, you know, permittability, jurisdiction, you know, we're not going to be buying stuff in Brazil or Alaska or California, you know, places that are very hard to work and likely, you know, you can never get permits for them, you know, in low grade, you know, like things that are, you know, 0.5 grams or less, you know, we're just simply going to stay away from projects like that, because we just don't deem them economic. So, you know, anything, it's got to be good grade. It's got to be what I call an early cycle asset. So that when this cycle does turn, and I think it's starting to now, that these projects will be financeable right away, early in the cycle, so that they will become producing, you know, throughout this next cycle.
And I know here in the U.S., First Mining Finance is found over-the-counter with the symbol FF. GMF, my screen just went away. FFMGF. Obviously, it's traded in Canada as well. What's the symbol up there, Keith?
Yeah, it's a simple symbol in Canada. It's just FF.
FF. Fair enough. And the symbol AG for First Majestic down here in the States on the New York Stock Exchange.
The best symbol there is for a silver company.
Can't beat that. Can't beat that. You got that one. That's like getting a good web address for your company. Yeah, very well done. Well, Keith, I got to tell you, speaking for everyone on my side, we find you just invaluable in our fight against the silver manipulation and the gold price manipulation. And we wish you nothing but the best of luck with your companies and in managing them and growing them. Thank you so much for taking some time to visit.
Well, thanks for your time as well. And I always appreciate the having conversations like this, and, you know, always keep fighting the fight. You know, I think it's very important, and, you know, looking for one day when we will see a reset in this market. And I think it's coming sooner rather than later.
I'm with you on that one. I hope we can visit again soon, Keith. Have a great rest of your day.
Okay, you too. Thanks for coming.